Hey, my Limmies, it's me, Giovanni, and I wanted to remind you real quick that this is our last episode for this season. We will be back on August 11th with all new episodes, and our first episode back is going to be extra special. We look forward to seeing you then.
Hello, and welcome to Let Me Look That Up, the show where we use the internet to try to answer life's trivial questions. I'm Tristan, and I'll be your host for today's episode.
I'm Nathaniel. I looked up some things that I want to talk about today.
And I'm Justin, and I have decided to take an Amish vow for the next hour, except for the podcasting equipment. So I'm just winging it here.
We've all been there before. You're hanging out with a couple of friends, and suddenly a random question pops up, like, what would a chair look like if your knees went the other direction?
So somebody pulls out their phone to see if they can find an answer.
That's what the show is all about. Just a couple of friends trying to find answers to life's mysteries.
And finally, a friendly reminder. The three of us are, at best, hobbyists who are mostly relying on random stuff we found on the internet. And as far as we're concerned, the internet is just an elaborate series of chain letters uploaded to an underwater server just off the shore of Palo Alto. If you want to be more specific, it's about 1 kilometer northeast of Hooks Point. I looked it up. Nathaniel, I want to start off by welcoming you to the show. You're a longtime friend, and honestly, you're probably one of our top two listeners, or fans, or limmies, if you will. So thank you for joining us today.
I will. Thank you for having me. I accept the Limmy brand, and I'm actually glad to finally have a topic to talk about. It's been great to listen to my friends talk about all the things we would normally look up in person, but haven't been able to recently. So, hooray, finally here.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely excited to have you here. And as a first-time expert, what's your little trivia that you have for us today?
Well, I have a little literature trivia for you. To summarize a quote from T.S. Eliot, "Good writers borrow, great writers steal." In a sci-fi novel recently, I came across a phrase used on an alien planet that stuck with me. After some research, I found that that author, and also arguably the greatest writer, Shakespeare, is known to have stolen this phrase from arguably the greatest book, the Bible. Can you think of some other things Shakespeare may have stolen from the Bible?
Oh, this is really going to test our Shakespeare knowledge here.
It's going to test my Bible knowledge, too. Behind on both.
I understand. Again, I only uncovered this after my research. It's much easier to think of things stolen from Shakespeare, such as West Side Story.
I imagine. Okay, so, you know, thinking of all the Shakespeare-isms out there, like the most famous, to be or not to be, he probably stole that from the Bible. I mean, it has to be, right? Like, and, ooh, I do know that the fact that the whole story of Romeo and Juliet is a myth from, like, 1,000 years before he was born. I don't know. Remember if it's Italian or not. I think it's Swedish.
I was going to say Italy is kind of Bible adjacent since Rome and all that. Not
that
so
true.
Much for the Swedes.
The Holy Grail.
He stole the Holy Grail.
I
think that was Steven Spielberg.
The Ark.
All right. So here's a hint. Are you familiar with any phrases that involve a time of day and a color?
Midsommar.
Oh no. Apparently
movie.
We are like all Shakespeare we have forgotten.
Yes, it's all gone.
Okay, so this is a common phrase.
Oh, I do know for certain. He did steal it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
From
That's
where?
Not Shakespeare, is it at all?
No. <doesn't sound> like
all right, so let's break this down for a moment. We've got Romeo and Juliet.
Life of Brian.
The Life of Brian is not Shakespeare, my friend.
Okay.
So we got Macbeth.
Hamlet. There's 7 King Henrys, right? 7 or 8 or 9.
Pretty sure he did the 8.
And what are you saying, Justin?
King Henry. He wrote like eight plays about King Henry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's actually some research that says he may have made up some Bible-like verses for his Henry's plays.
Ooh, so maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the Bible stole some Shakespeare, which would be kind of weird, but...
I don't think that's possible.
Actually, No, Tristan, actually, there's some rumors that Shakespeare may have written a version of the Bible or helped write.
There's a book of...
Oh, wow.
So a book of William in the Bible. did Shakespeare write The Tempest?
Yes.
And I feel like that's a Bible story, isn't it?
I mean,
I can't remember what happens in The Tempest, so someone will have to remind me.
Shipwrecks, wizards, prisoners.
That sounds very Bible-y. Let's add that to the dictionary, please.
Justin, do you know what the Bible is?
To circle back to my source, I was reading the Anne McCaffrey novel set on an alien planet, and she used a phrase referencing a red sky in the morning. And I'm like, hold on. That may trigger something. Hold on, I thought. This phrase sounds familiar, but this is an alien planet. So then I had to go look up whether this phrase, what's its origins, is it actually true or not? Turns out, Shakespeare references it, Neil Gaiman references it, and Jesus says it in Matthew.
Wait, okay, hold on. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Is that what we're talking about here?
That's what we're talking about here, yes.
That's a Shakespeare thing? That's a Bible thing?
Shakespeare uses it in his play Venus and Apollo, and Jesus quotes it to the Pharisees as a sign from the heavens.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
But no. See, I would have never gotten there.
So hold on. What exactly does that verse say?
So it's reading from Matthew 16, verses 1 through 3. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." It's like 2,000 years ago, they had a saying that Jesus referenced as a sign from the heavens, where if the sky is red at night, you'll be happy, good weather. If the sky is red in the morning, you're going to have a storm.
Huh.
That blew me away.
What? Okay, this is crazy. Did not know that.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense though, because I mean, Jesus hung out with a lot of fishermen, so he probably picked up a lot of seamen lingo. And so, yeah, it would kind of make sense that, like, to show off to the Pharisees and be like, "Listen, red skies at night."
But it can also be read as red sky at night, shepherd's delight.
Ooh.
Red sky morning, shepherds take warning. So it's not just a sea phrase. It's something well known enough at that time that Jesus referenced it as a sign from the heavens that they weren't interpreting correctly.
Wow.
So is Shakespeare actually stealing that from the Bible, or is everybody just stealing that from shepherds?
An excellent thing. Yes, my thinking is that it's not deliberately stolen from the Bible, though Shakespeare is very familiar with the Bible itself, but more taken from common parlance, something everyone knows, something that just creeped out into the knowledge of things people learn when they're young, how to predict storms, because they didn't have any weather apps on their phones, because they didn't have phones. I mean,
yeah, they just carried clay rocks around with them in their pocket, and they would pull that out and realize that it didn't do anything, so then they would just put it on the ground.
What they actually did, Tristan, was they had the original tablets. They picked up the red stone tablets and compared it to the sky, and you know, if the red sky matched the tablet, then they know what the weather's coming.
I was gonna say, they just asked their Uncle Bob how his false knee is doing, and he'd be like, "Oh, my false knee is acting up, so we're not gonna have good weather tomorrow."
Wow. Okay, so that's crazy, because that saying is everywhere. It's in movies, it's in books, it's like, it's a common colloquialism.
Yes, it is. And after I looked this up, I have come across it in just two more books I've read just randomly. It's like, oh, I learned about this thing, and suddenly I encountered it over and over again.
So you've given yourself a bit of a deja vu syndrome here.
This makes me wonder, though, like, because we're getting into the element of plagiarism here. Like, did this person write it? Did that person write it? But, like, with something that's common like that, does plagiarism come into effect here if it's just a common saying? Like, even though somebody wrote it once, it was in the Bible, can you really plagiarize the Bible if it's seen as a historical document that somebody said this thing? Like, is that plagiarism?
Yes.
Well, we're not legal experts here. Just putting that out there. But charges of plagiarism usually rely on the legal system. Right. And what I've encountered in my research is that Jesus used both sides of the phrase, the delight and the warning, and most of the references, Shakespeare included, just have the red sky mourning whoever takes warning, like a storm's coming. So it's like how you're legally able to sample, like, what, 6 seconds of a song? And you can use it that way, but not the rest of the song.
And I also think it's like so many years after the death of a person, it goes into the the public domain. So at this point, I mean, even at that point, everything that Jesus said was public domain.
To enter public domain, a song has to be around for at least 75 years, or the family can renew the copyright at the end of that 75 years. Disney does a lot of that, where it's like, oh, this song is almost 75 years old. We'll just renew the copyright here.
Yeah. That reminds me of, there was like that hot second where Mickey Mouse was like in public domain.
Yeah.
And everyone went crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's ramp it up a bit. Return to my original question. If Jesus were on Mars, would he use the same phrase?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that too. Like you said that this phrase came up in a sci-fi novel on an alien planet. Do red skies work in space? I mean, it's just all stars and darkness. And there's no time of day.
Isn't Mars sky just red?
All the time.
If the Martian has taught me anything.
It's that potatoes are great.
And Mark Watney is America's first space pirate.
Yeah. And Matt Damon is really great at getting lost in space.
He's also very expensive to save.
Okay.
This is a question of the different weather on different planets. Right. Like, obviously, we have Earth weather. We have Earth-like alien planet weather. And we have whatever the weather is on Mars.
Yeah. And so, some planets are just like a never-ending storm.
Like Jupiter.
And Saturn.
So the sky on Mars, when you're on Mars, actually looks blue.
Really?
And it only looks red from our perspective.
Huh. I mean, it's all light refraction, and that doesn't really change from atmosphere to atmosphere if it's somewhat the same atmosphere.
Yeah, but isn't Mars's atmosphere like kind of thin?
I think it's definitely composed differently, because like we can't breathe there, we can breathe here. But we've also got all the oceans here and no oceans there.
Yeah, and it's all the water there is frozen and you know, not useful at all. And there's a bunch of sad little rover robots just sort of taking pictures of the sky going, I miss my friends at NASA.
So this thing from Forbes that I'm seeing is that what we are seeing as a red sky is just the dust of the red dirt in the sky. But when you're actually on the planet, the sky of Mars near the sun appears blue. What am I reading here? While the sky far away from the sun appears red.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means anymore.
I don't know either. But the red sky effect here on Earth is because of a high pressure system that puts little particles out in the air, and that refracts the light and turns it red.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in the mid-latitudes, like the U.S., most of Europe, the Middle East, most of our weather moves from west to east. So if there's a high pressure system when the sun is setting, that means, hey, good weather's on the way. If there's a high pressure system and thus a red sky in the morning on the east, that means, oh, the good weather has just left you and there may be a storm coming.
Dang.
So does really the same hold true on Mars?
2,000-year-old sailors are real smart. We should have listened to them a long time ago.
I mean, the saying's probably older than 2,000 years.
8,000-year-old sailors are real smart. We should have listened to them a long time ago. Or shepherds. Sailors or shepherds?
Shepherds.
Imagine like a caveman 10,000 years ago is just like figured it out and is just like, hey guys, I came up with a catchy little rhyme, you want to hear it? And then he trademarked it, and then 75 years later everyone's like, dude, we're just gonna take that, that's ours now.
Yes,
everyone has this
because plagiarism laws existed back then.
Dude, cavemen are very litigious. Have you seen a Geico ad?
Hey, my physics teacher was a Geico caveman.
Oh, hey, my physics teacher was a Geico ad. We had the same physics teacher.
Yeah, we did. That's a story for another day, though.
If we care about fair attribution, we have to figure out whether there were more sailors or more shepherds in the Middle East in Jesus' time.
Oh, there were definitely more shepherds.
Okay, so the question that we've gotten to here is, does the weather on Mars have a similar effect to the sky as it does here, right?
If they have the same high pressure, low pressure systems we do, then some of the saying may be the same.
But so now most of my understanding of Mars's weather patterns, though, are from sci-fi, like The Martian. But I feel like The Martian is pretty solidly based in reality, and that, you know, whenever there's like a huge dust storm or anything, it's very, very bad news. So I imagine a red sky at all is just like, oh no, this is bad. Just dig yourself down in a hole, bunker down, hide.
That makes complete sense to me. And Justin, as you mentioned, there's no water there except the polar ice caps. So I have to imagine that has some effect. Tristan, which way do the winds blow on Mars?
Do we know that?
That's an excellent question. Currently, I had to look up because apparently I was wrong about the sky being blue and red.
Yeah, that sounded
situation.
Wrong.
that was from where you are to the sun and Mars is where that was coming from. This is saying that the Mars atmosphere contains a lot of dust, and so the sky is permanently tan.
Okay.
So when you're on the planet, there's all the dust in the sky, so you have a tan sky. From our perspective, it looks red. And then apparently, depending on where you are compared to the sun, it can look blue because of how light refracts off the atmosphere.
Can I ask a quick question? How can we see the sky on Mars from our perspective when all we can see is the ground of Mars? Because we're looking down on a globe?
Yeah, so we're looking down. So from our perspective, the planet just looks red.
Because you can only ever see the sky if you look up.
But you can see, like, you can kind of see the atmospheric.
Oh, okay. So like from the edge of the
around. Okay. Yeah.
I imagine good enough telescope, you can just focus on the very edge of the planet. Like the thickness of the atmosphere
The outline.
But
we also have
rovers, as you mentioned, that can tell us what color the sky is from the surface.
That's not the sky of Mars from our perspective. That's the sky of Mars from Mars's perspective. Because the rover is there.
Yeah.
Dude, this is okay. Very, like, perspective shifting is a very hard thing to talk about. Everything has gone upside down. I need to lie down.
So here's what's going to happen. Everybody can take a lie down for just a moment. You ask the question of which way does the wind blow. I'm also going to look up, like, which directions does the sun rise and set to see if we can figure something out here. So give me a second to that up.
Hey, and also just very curiously, what's the weather patterns like on on other planets with solid surfaces, like Venus or Mercury or the Moon? That's not a planet, but hey, let's look at their weather system.
I'll see what I can find.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's your Biscuit Boy Giovanni, and Tristan and I just went big on this part, so Tristan, go ahead and cut to the big version.
Hey, it's your Biscuit Boy Giovanni, and I'm here to say you can support the show in three good ways. Telling a friend is number one.
Just let them know the show is fun.
Telling a stranger is number two.
Leave 5 stars and no review.
Buying a coffee, of course, is number three.
No matter what you do, this podcast will always be free.
Tristan, I don't know if I should thank you or be mad at you for encouraging me to do what we just did there.
It's probably the second most embarrassing thing that I've done.
So much fun. Okay. but seriously, if you have a chance to tell a friend, tell a stranger, or buy us a coffee, we would love it if you do. We look forward to that. I think, Tristan, that's your and my favorite part of the show is sharing those reviews with everybody else.
Yeah, I love interacting with the community. The community.
The community.
All right, guys. So something that I've discovered is that it's really difficult to find the answer that you're looking for because a lot of articles are written about Mars from the perspective of Earth. But I did find some stuff about if you were on Mars, which way it's rotating and all of that.
Okay.
So are you guys ready to jump into this? Mars is very similar to Earth in the way that it rotates around the sun, but the winds do something that is much different than what they do here. Nathaniel, if you could for a moment remind us which ways the wind blow here on Earth.
So here on Earth, because we've got those oceans that are warmed beautifully by the sun, most of our weather in the mid-latitudes, which isn't the equator, isn't the poles, moves from west to east. So it'd blow, using the U.S. example, from California over to the Washington, D.C.
on Mars, you have to forgive me, I didn't look up like the exact reasons why, but on Mars, the winds blow from the northeast if you're on the northern hemisphere, and from the southeast on the southern hemisphere. So they are coming from a different direction from where the sun would be rising and setting, because it does have a similar rotation to us, but the winds are doing something different. So how does that affect what the skies look like when a storm is a-brewing? Right? That's the question that we're looking for. And I haven't been able to find an answer for that yet, but Nathaniel, do you know what the answer is?
Well, I mean, I think the answer for Mars would be, oh no, we're all going to die. We can't live here. There's a storm. Look at those dust clouds. Get back in the lunar rover.
That's true. You're not wrong.
Imagine the sky turns red on Mars. You're just like,
well,
nope.
The sky can't turn red because it's always red.
So you'd have to watch for those dust clouds.
Yeah. But I did discover something interesting about the color of the sky during a sunset on Mars. Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah?
So yeah. During... This is sunset, right? Yeah. At sunset, the sky actually turns blue on Mars. Because of how the light reflects off of the dust particles, it actually turns blue instead of red. So it's kind of the opposite
of ours. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, wow. So it would be like blue sky at night, everyone's delight, blue sky in morning, oh, look at the dust storm run.
Yeah, I can't tell if that like truly affects like telling us how this the storm works, but if when it sets it's blue, I think that's normal.
Yeah. Like,
that should be the normal. So yeah, I think I could be wrong, and if there's a Mars expert somewhere out there that is listening to us,
please
tell me. But I think it's the opposite on Mars than it is here. There'd be blue at night, blue in the morning. Run for cover. It doesn't rhyme at all, but
your sci-fi novelist was wrong, at least about Mars. Taking it back to that anecdote, they say alien planet, they don't specify Mars, so it could be an Earth-like alien.
They do not. In this case, it's Anne McCaffrey's Pern, and yeah, it's a very much Earth-like planet.
Yeah.
Similar weather, similar seas, all that. Mm-hmm. It's just Mars is our nearest neighbor that is very different from Mars.
Yeah, imagine if you mm-hmm. go to any Earth-like planet, it'll also hold true that a red sky at night is a sailor's delight, and a red sky in the morning is everybody needs to run because the sky is falling.
Unless you're on Earth at the equator or the poles. Then reverse it.
Just for fun, Justin, you had asked, like, what about other planets that, like, actually have a rocky surface?
Yeah, you can walk around, look up at the sky, and, you know, make your own judgment call about how the weather is going to be tomorrow. So not Jupiter, because you can't walk around there.
I obviously went to the first planet, Mercury,
mm-hmm.
And there's not really wind patterns there. It's just... Everything goes away from the sun because it's so hot. Just like scatter. So I guess it's see the sun, run away, you're dead.
It's a very, very, very much very much just a follow the winds.
Yeah. And I honestly think that's what I've got for you. Nathaniel, can you tell us what we should have learned today?
Well, I think the most useful thing to learn is that this saying does sort of hold true for most of our planet. If the sky is red in the night, weather's probably going to be good. If the sky is red in the morning, weather may turn bad. And also, copyright laws are ridiculous.
We also learned that apparently this saying has been around since at least Jesus's time, if not before. That should be so new to me, but that is like, whoa, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, at least 2,000 years and regarded as a sign from the heavens.
And then on top of that, we learned that the winds on Mars blow from a northeast direction, and also that sunsets are blue on Mars. And that's pretty cool.
But wait, there is more. The learning doesn't stop just because we've covered the topic for the day. You Lemmies have done the real work of looking things up, and we want to share one with you. Here's Listener Lookups. Hey, Tristan, today's lookup is actually more of like a co-host asked type of situation.
I like to refer to it as a Lemmy asked, because as you know, we are all Lemmys.
Yeah, hosts, co-hosts, listeners, everybody's a Lemmy.
Everyone's a Lemmy, and we've been getting a lot of questions from our Lemmys.
At the beginning of the episode, I mentioned that we were having a super special episode when we come back in August, and that's actually what that episode's going to be about. The Lemmys have asked questions, and I think it's time that we responded.
Yeah, we've been handling their answers and corrections that they've been sending us, and now it's time to answer the questions that they've been asking.
So we've got a handful of them that we're super excited to answer. Let's give a little preview today. So Mike has his own podcast. I don't know if we've mentioned it before. It's called Review Rewind. Him and his lovely spouse review movies, and they have great conversations about it.
That's right. And a couple weeks ago, they were talking about the X-Men movie, and Krista, Mike's wife, was asking why the X-Men are called X-Men, and is it because of Professor Xavier?
It's like, are they Xavier's men?
Yeah, did he name them after himself? They also called us out on the show and said, hey, look this up for us.
Give us this homework. So we Mike.
Yeah. So we did just that. We looked it up.
I think there's two answers. One is like the in-universe answer, and one is like in the writer's room answer.
Yeah.
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 So which one do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with in the writer's room. There was definitely they really liked the letter X being in everything. Yeah. Xavier, X-Men,
X-Factor,
X-23, like pretty much everything was X-related.
Right.
And in that, in the comic book universe and in the movies, they called it the X-gene, is the gene that made mutants.
Yeah.
Or the Homo superior instead of Homo sapien.
Yeah, so in the writer's room, it was a strong X theme. They were probably sitting at a cross-shaped table. They were all wearing a shirt with an X on it. Like, they had X on the mind. But in the universe, no. The answer is no. It's not named after Xavier. I think Xavier's named after the X Factor theme, not the other way around. Well, not in universe, that's probably not true. In the writer's room, that's true. In the universe, it's just a happy coincidence.
Exactly, Giovanni.
All right. I accept.
So, yeah, there you go, Mike and Krista. There's your answer to your question. And everyone else, go and check out their podcast. It's a pretty great listen.
That's right. It's Review Rewind. You can find that at your local bespoke podcast store. Pick it up on vinyl.
VHS, really.
Yeah. I think we'll just leave a link in our show notes.
Well, we want you to be able to join the discussion as well, and you can do that by jumping on to our social media or on our website, letmelookthatup.com. Let us know what your lookups are or what your questions are.
Oh yeah,
so that we can answer them.
If you want to sneak a few questions in, you know, just under the finish line, now's the time to do it, because eventually we'll have to just answer the questions we have. As always, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Let Me Look That Up, or on Facebook at Let Me Look That Up Pod.
Again, if you like the show, subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. If you enjoy listening to us looking that up, you can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/letmelookthatup.
All our links are in the description or on our website, letmelookthatup.com. Also, lmltu.com if you want to save some letters.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tristan.
I'm Nathaniel.
I'm Justin.
We'll see you next time on Let Me Look That Up.